Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Let's start today with some questions for you, and we'll begin with a little pop quiz. You guys ready for a quiz? No, you're not. That's why it's a pop quiz. But we're going to do a quiz on the animal kingdom. See about your knowledge of the animal kingdom. What I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you a type of animal, and I want to see if anybody knows what that animal is called in a group of those kind of animals, okay? And so we'll start easy. What is a group of elephants called? A herd, right? It's a herd. You guys can actually talk in church. It's cool here. How about a group of fish? What are they called? A school of fish. Good. We'll get harder. How about a group of lions? A pride, very good. How about a group of crows? Yes, it's a murder. What about, see if you know this one, a group of monkeys? I gotcha. A troop. It's a troop of monkeys. What about a group of donkeys? Be careful, we're in church. Group of donkeys, anybody? It's a pace. What about a, what if you had a bunch of frogs together? What are they called? It's an army of frogs, which you can tell they're very intimidating, a group of frogs. What about if you ever see a group of penguins, like at the zoo, what is that group called? It's actually a rookery of penguins, a rookery. What about a group of cheetahs? No, it's not Cheetos. I know what you're thinking. A group of cheetahs is a coalition. Anybody know, this is a tough one. A group of, you guys are not doing very good in the pop quiz, by the way. What about a group of apes? A shrewdness. It's a shrewdness of apes. Who knew? What about, you may be able to get this, but it's more complicated than you'll first think. A group of geese. Okay? Oh, you want to know what it is? A group of geese is called a flock. But interestingly, if they're on the ground, they're called a gaggle. When they're in the air, it's called a skein of geese. But if they're in the air in V formation, it's called a wedge of geese. When exactly they're a flock, I'm not sure. I think it's just if it's in your mind. It's just this vague kind of like, I'm thinking of geese, it's a flock. But if I see geese, it's never a flock. So the idea is each of these animals is something, right? But when they're in a group, they become... well, this, right? It's a this, but in a group, they become a this, right? They take on a different name and almost a different identity because they're a part of a group. And if you've ever studied the animal kingdom, what you'd find is that if an animal gets away from the group, if it distances itself or becomes lost from the group, what will happen is, like, the life expectancy of that now lone animal is like greatly reduced. And not only that, but the group suffers because of the loss of one of its members. Okay? One really interesting place where you see kind of the importance of a group togetherness is with geese. Maybe at some point you've seen a flock of geese or a skein or wedge of geese flying overhead. And you notice that they fly in a V and they're honking like crazy up there. What's happening is when geese fly together, they are able to fly 70% faster and 70% further than they can if they're on their own. But when they get in that V formation, the way they're drafting through the air and honking encouragement to each other, which apparently, according to the experts, is what they're doing when they honk, is they're kind of, let's do this, come on, let's go, we can do this. When they do that, they fly 70% faster and further than they do on their own. And so you see how important it is that they're kind of together. Okay, second question. What do you call a group of two arms and two legs and a pancreas and a liver and a kidney and two eyes and two ears and a mouth and a nose? You call that a body, right? That's a body. And you know, just like with animals, it's the same kind of thing. Your body has a lot of different parts to it, a lot of different members, but when they come together, they become something different. They become a body. And just like with animals, if you take off, if you take away a piece of your body and just kind of toss it over there, what you'll find is that part of the body is going to very quickly lose life expectancy, right? Body parts don't do well on their own. They need to be a part of the body. And not only that, but if you take away a part of the body suffers, right? The body becomes handicapped because it's missing a part of its body. Okay, third question. What do you call a group of people who have committed themselves to the leadership of Jesus in their lives and committed themselves to each other? What do you call that? We call that a church, right? A church is a group of people who have said, man, I want to live my life under the leadership of Jesus, and I want to commit to these other people and be kind of a family. But we call that a church. But interestingly, Jesus also has another name for that in the Bible. He calls that group of people the body of Christ. He says when you get a group of people who together have submitted their lives to the leadership of Jesus and together have said, man, let's do this together, that group becomes the body of Christ. I want to show you this in the Bible. If you have a Bible, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. If you don't have a Bible with you, don't sweat that. We'll put the verses on the screen today. But if you don't own a Bible, man, we'd love for you to own one. And so we give them out for free. This is a gift. There's no catch. There's no cost. On your way out today, if you want to stop at the Velcro bar, we'll just give you a Bible. You can grab one. You don't have to talk to anybody if you don't want to, or you can. There's people back there to connect with. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, and this is being written to a church, and it says this on the screen. It says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And so it's saying, you church, each church becomes the body of Christ. And everyone who becomes a part of that church becomes a part of Jesus' body. And so there's a sense in which, like I can think of some of my friends who I think of as like, man, they're to me, they're like the eyes of Jesus. Because, man, when I talk to them, just the way they look at things and the way they see the world, I'm like, man, you see the world in this really cool way, the way I think God would see it. If you've met my wife, I think my wife is like the ears of Christ in the body. Because if you know her, you're like, yeah, I already know what you're talking about. Because she just listens to people. And when she listens, you know she really cares about what you're saying. She's like the ears of Christ. I think of myself as like the sphincter of Christ, perhaps. I'm pushing the poop out, you know. I don't know what that means. Don't ask me what I meant by that. I have no idea. But anyway, the point is, nowhere else in this world will you hear anyone say the sphincter of Christ, by the way, so let's just not quote me on that. But the point is, everyone who is a part of a church together becomes the body, and we become this united thing where we are the body of Christ. This idea is kind of unpacked if we go back up, and we'll look at the verses that come before it, starting in verse 12. We'll put it on the screen. It says, the body... And this, at this point, it's talking about the human body, okay? The body is a unit, right? It's all one. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Now it's talking about the body of Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So the idea here is, listen, in a church, you're going to get people from all different backgrounds. Right? In this church, in any church, you're going to get people from different racial backgrounds, different economic backgrounds, different nationalities, you know, different places, what kind of family they grew up in, or what kind of faith they used to have, or maybe they didn't have any faith. And you just get all these different kinds of people. But the beautiful thing is that God puts them together and unites them, and they become one body. And so that's the idea. Now, let's keep reading, starting in verse 14. It says, now the body... So again, about the physical body, human body. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And now he's talking about the, you know, becoming the body of Christ. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And then he says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And so, again, what he's saying is, listen, you church, and he's writing to a church in the city of Corinth 2,000 years ago, but he would say the same thing to us. You church are the body of Christ. And one of the beautiful mysteries of God, of what he does in people's lives, is he brings them together and he unites them as one body. And just like with the human body, every church has all different parts, but they all come together to make one body. And just like with the human body, every part has a uniqueness to it. Right? Every person has a uniqueness. Every part has a unique role and a unique function, each of us do. But just like with the body, our uniqueness, our unique role and our unique function is supposed to be helping towards the greater good of the entire united body. Do you guys know what a stroke technically is when a person has a stroke? When a person has a stroke, what happens is that for some reason, the brain's message to parts of the body become ineffective. It gets interfered with. And so the brain is sending a message to the arm, move, do this, grab that. But for some reason, though the message is being sent, that part of the body isn't receiving the message. And so what happens is that part of the body becomes paralyzed because it's not receiving a message to move. And what will happen is a person who suffered a stroke will go to a rehab clinic, and people will try to teach the brain to have a different pathway to send that same message to that body part so that it learns a new way to function. But if functionality isn't returned to that body part, what will happen is it will just lay dormant. And over time, because it's not being used, it will grow weaker and weaker. And eventually that part of the body can die. And sometimes what can happen is if that part of the body dies is that it can become infected, and sometimes gangrene will set in, and the entire body just kind of spreads, and the entire body can be infected by this one body part that just wasn't receiving the brain signal. And it's the same in the body of Christ. See, the message that God gives us in the Bible is you're supposed to serve. I made you this unique person, and I gave you these unique abilities and gifts and personality, but I gave that to you so that you could serve a unique function and role in my body, in the church. And so I'm telling you, kind of the brain up there telling you, you're supposed to serve and play your part. But for some people, what happens is there's just something interfering with receiving that message. And so rather than doing what the brain is saying, it just kind of lays dormant. And that person's faith isn't put into action. It's not working. It's not doing anything. And so it will grow, that person's faith will grow weaker and weaker and weaker through inactivity. And eventually that person's faith can die. And there are even times where that person who's not willing to listen to the brain, their lack of putting their faith in action can even become this thing that kind of infects the rest of the body at times. So it is with the body of Christ. See, with the body of Christ, everyone is meant to serve and make a difference. And if there are people, if there are members of the body who don't serve and don't play their part, the body is handicapped, right? It's a church that is a handicapped church because we have parts of the body that God put in just as he wants to. And he put that part of the body into the body so that it can play its part so that you can have this really functional and effective body. But without some of the members playing their part, you have this handicapped church. So how does that apply to Verve? Well, it's pretty obvious probably, but we are the body of Christ. You may never have thought that, but if you have kind of surrendered your life to the leadership of Christ, and if you have decided, man, I want to commit to these people, I want to commit to being a family and doing this together, then you are the body of Christ at Verve. You're a part of that, and as a part of that, you need to know your role. Because God put you here partly so that you could play a part, so that you have this unique function that you play that makes our body really effective. And listen, you need to play that part. You need to play that part because Jesus meant for his body to be on a mission. You know, not to just kind of sit on the couch and watch TV and eat Doritos. Jesus meant for his body to be on a mission. We have a mission. Our mission is that we can connect people with the love of God through Jesus. And I'll tell you this, that is the most important mission in the world. That mission, the mission that you and I have, it's more important than who wins the election this year. It's more important than who wins the Super Bowl. It's more than, important than what happens with the stock market, because everyone needs to experience the love of God. It's what makes our lives complete. It's what makes our lives work. And everyone needs to know Jesus. You know, he's not just some person. He's the person we need to walk with us through life, and it transforms everything about our lives. It transforms our relationships and our attitudes and how we do work and our finances. Just everything changes. And so we have the most important mission in the world, and we need to engage in it. God needs us to engage in it. Do you know what God's plan is for this world to experience his love and to meet Jesus, to have an encounter with Jesus? God has like this plan A. Plan A is us. It's people. Honestly, I can't figure this out. I'm not sure, because God could do whatever he wanted. And so why God chose to use ordinary, frail, faulty people like you and me as his plan A for how he's going to change the world and how everyone's going to experience his love and encounter Jesus, I'm not sure, but that's plan A. Do you know what plan B is? There is no plan B. There is no plan B. In the Bible, it's really clear God is going to do this through people. He's going to do it through us. And so God needs each of us to step up and say, man, if I'm going to be a part of the body, I need to play my part in this mission. But it's not just God who needs it. The world needs it. The world needs it. Because what the world needs to do is they need to experience God's love through Jesus. And when you think about this idea that we are the body of Christ, the idea is that we, as a church, not individually, as a church, we're kind of Jesus walking around in this world. And the way people in the world get to experience Jesus, oddly enough, is through us. Because we are the presence of Christ. And so when we really do this right, when we all jump in and we play our parts and we let God start to transform our lives and we become active, you know, members of this body, what happens is the world gets to be in the presence of God through us. It's just like a mystery, and it's beautiful, and it's weird, but it's true. And the world gets to encounter Jesus, but the way the world encounters Jesus is through us, not individually, but collectively, us being the body of Christ. And so the world needs this, man. It's when the world sees a church, like everybody playing their part, and everybody doing it with love, that's when the world sits up and takes notice. And that's when lives start to change. And so God needs us to do this. We're plan A. And B and C. And the world needs this, but also we need this. You need this. It's not about being a consumer and what do I need, and it is about giving, but the reality is you need this. You know why? Because whether you think this way or not, whether you recognize this or not, every single day you are writing a story with your life. You are, right? Every single day you are writing a story with your life. There's going to come a day when you come to the last words and your life is complete, and you're going to look back and realize, I wrote a story with my life. Right now, just day by day, page by page, you are writing a story with your life. And so the question we really need to ask ourselves is, what kind of story do I want to write with my life? And is the story that I'm currently writing, is it a story that interests me? Or do I find my life boring? See, the problem is a lot of us really do have a me life. We go through life consumers, and it's all about me. And I just want to tell you, that is a boring story. If you don't think that way, if you don't believe me, just think about movies. Like, if you went to the movies this week, and there were some previews for movies, and you're sitting there watching it, and the preview for the movie is about this guy, and this guy's goal in life is to get more promotion so he can get more raises so he can buy a better car and a bigger house. Who's going to that movie? Nobody, right? That is a boring movie, right? Or what if the story is about this family, and it's a decent family, they get along pretty well, everybody's pretty happy, and they save up every year to go on a vacation. You going to that movie? No, you're not. That's a boring movie. But the ironic thing is, we will not waste 2 hours and $10 on a movie about that, but a lot of us are spending our entire lives living that story. Your life does not become exciting. It doesn't become the kind of story you want to write until your life goes beyond yourself. It's the way God made us. It's the way he made this world. It's why we like movies that are about these heroes who live for other people and become involved in this adventure to save someone or to save the world. Because we know that stories are supposed to be about something bigger than ourselves. And so if you're writing a story that's all about me, how much money can I make? What experiences can I have? What kind of relationships do I need? That is a boring story. And it's no wonder that, if you're honest, you're bored. We need something beyond ourselves, something bigger. That's when our lives become exciting. And so you need this. It's when you commit your life to this mission and you say, you know what I want my life to be about? I want to help connect people to the love of God through Jesus. Like, I want to really throw my life into this thing so that people's lives are changed and they find what they've been searching for their entire lives. And they find that missing something inside of them that they felt but never been able to describe. When you become a part of connecting people to the love of God through Jesus, that's when your life, man, it starts to get exciting and your heart starts beating fast. And you realize, man, my life is worth something. When we don't choose to do this, our lives are boring and ineffectual, and our church is handicapped and ineffectual. But when we choose to do this, when we say, you know what, I'm a simple person. I don't know that there's anything special about me, but I'll play my part. And what happens when we have that willingness is that God comes in and he empowers our time. He empowers our abilities with his spirit, and dramatic, exciting things will start to happen. And so my question today is, will you join us? Will you join us? Will you, if you have not yet, will you find and start performing your role? Now, what we do here is every single week at the Velcro Bar, we have the opportunity for you guys to sign up for first serves. A first serve means that when you sign up to serve here, you're not signing up for the rest of your life. You don't have to say, all right, I'll do this. I might hate it, and I realize I'm going to be stuck in it forever. But no, what we're asking you to do is to serve one time as kind of an experiment, kind of a test drive. And if you like it, which we hope you will, then you can say, hey, I could do this for a while. You know, this is something I could do well, and I think I can make a difference, so I'll do this for a while. If you realize this is not for me, I made the wrong choice, then we'll let you try a different first serve, and so you can kind of experiment until you go, this is for me. Like, let me do this. And the goal is to have you serving in a permanent kind of way because you're plan A, and because the world needs you, because you need to do this. So we do that every week, but today we're doing something special. You may have noticed out in the lobby today, we've got some tables set up. And each table has some of our ministries represented. And so we're going to get done with service a couple minutes early today. And when you leave, we hope that you'll stop by those tables, and there's going to be representatives of each ministry. And so you can kind of say, what do you got? Like, tell me about what your ministry does. And you can kind of hear what their opportunities are, and you can go through all of them and hopefully sign up for at least one first serve. You could sign up for two or three and say, I'm going to kind of test drive three different things and then choose which one fits me best. Or you can say, let me do this one at a time. That sounds fun to me. Like that sounds like something I could do, so let me try that one. To kind of give you a little bit of incentive and make this fun, if you go to each of those six different ministry areas and listen to their spiel, just take a minute, they'll initial this card we're going to give you, this backstage pass we're going to give you, and if you sign up, so you go to each area and you sign up for at least one first serve, then you can put that card into a bucket out there, and we're going to draw one of the cards, and we've got, I think, a $50 gift card for Claim Jumper. And so just to kind of make this fun, because we want to kind of give you an incentive to actually take a few minutes to look around, because we think you'll find something that's like a fun fit for you. And so we've got all kinds of areas, but let me just highlight a few of the areas where we really need some people to help, and maybe one of these will pop for you. Maybe one of these will be like, you're like, that's what I can do. And so one is children's ministry. Now, we have a great children's program every week, and the reason it's great is because we have great volunteers. Like, they make it. And what they do every week is not babysitting. What they do is maybe the most important thing happening in Las Vegas all week, because they are investing in the lives of kids. And they're giving kids this place where it's a safe place for them to come and learn and be loved and to find out about living a love God, love people, turn the world upside down kind of life. Man, it's the most important thing in the world. And we need some more people. We're actually planning on starting a new class. Right now we do 3 classes a week. We're going to be doing 4. And so we need about 16 new volunteers to serve in the children's ministry so that we can be pretty fully staffed. And so maybe for 1 or 2 of you, or hopefully 16 of you, you say, man, I could do that. What we'll do is we'll put you on a schedule so you're serving every couple weeks or whatever it is, and we'll train you. No worries about that. A second area are kind of geared around hospitality, our host team and our frontline team. Our host team are people who are at the Welcome Center when you walk in, and they're smiling faces, and their deal is just to make people feel welcomed and kind of accepted and loved here. And then the frontline team are people who make coffee and prepare communion, and sometimes they make meals for events that we have. And so both of those kind of center around just being a warm person who likes to make people feel comfortable. Maybe that's you. The third area is administration, and this is people who can come in for an hour or two, like Monday through Friday. Maybe you're like, man, weekends just aren't good for me to get here early or leave late, but I can come in during the week for an hour or two. And so we have people who come in and for 2 hours, and they have a task that they do every week. And it's not unimportant. It's not like, well, I'm just coming in and doing some paperwork or something like that. I mean, without these tasks getting done, our church doesn't continue. And they're critical tasks. It's behind the scenes, but it's so important. And maybe you can do that. You can come in, you say, man, I like to keep things organized. I like details. I can come in for an hour or two. I can do that. The fourth area is our facilities team. And so these are people who come in a little early on Sundays or on Mondays and make the building presentable and get it ready. And also we have a group of people who kind of do maintenance stuff. When something breaks, they're like, give me a call, I can fix things, I can come in and I can do that kind of thing. And again, this is a behind-the-scenes kind of role, but it's critical because these people are creating our first impressions. You know, if you came in today and the place looked like crap, you'd be like, man, do these people even care about what they're doing here? So it's a critical role, and maybe some of you say, I can come in an hour early on Sundays or on Mondays and help with this. A facilities team. And then the last role is our tech team, the people back there in that booth who run the lights and run the sound and run the computer. We have some people who make graphics and help film videos. And, man, they're critical. I mean, it's part of the whole experience you guys have here every Sunday and Monday night. And so we need like 8 or 10 new people to serve on the tech team. And maybe that's some of you. You don't need to know how to do it. If you're like, I have never run sound, we will train you how to do that. And let me just say, with all those roles, we're not going to throw you in the deep end, okay? You're going to sign up for a first serve. You'll experience it one time. If you say, I think I'd like to do this, I don't know how to take care of kids, I don't know how to run the soundboard, we will train you, we'll equip you, we'll encourage you, we'll thank you, and so you can do this. You can do this, all right? So what we're hoping is that when the service gets done, you'll go out there, you'll check out all the areas, and you'll sign up for at least one first serve today. Some of you might be asking this question. I hear you, Vince, but can I go home and pray about this a little bit? No. You cannot go home and pray about this. You know what? No, let's be fair. Let's be nice. We'll pray about it right now together, okay? God, do you want every member of your church serving? He said yes. Right? He says it right here, right? And so, like, he didn't make that, like, kind of ambiguous. He says, man, everybody has a part to play. If you don't play your part, then the church is handicapped, and we don't want to be a handicapped church. We want to be everything we can be, right, and do everything that we can do in this community to love on people and let them experience God's love and experience Jesus through us. So you can't pray about it. Just go out there in a couple minutes and do it. Hey, I forgot to tell you what my favorite animal group is called. My favorite group of animals, the favorite title of a group of animals, is of rhinos. Do you know that rhinos, in all their tonnage, run 30 miles per hour, but can only see 30 feet in front of them? Do the math there. Kind of work that out in your head. And do you know that what rhinos are called in a group is a crash? I love that, right? It's very appropriate. That's very cool. And that's what I want us to be as a church. I want us to be a crash. Because you know the truth is, we can't see 31 feet in front of us. We can't. We don't know the future. It's uncertain, right? Some of you might be thinking, man, I would be willing to go out there and sign up for a serving role and start volunteering, but like, what if later this year things get really busy for me and I just can't do it? The future's uncertain. Or maybe you're thinking, I would sign up and try something, but what if I'm no good at it? Or what if I end up not liking it after a couple months? The future is uncertain. We can't see 31 feet in front of us, right? And not just for you individually, for us as a church. Last week, we made this really cool announcement that together, we are going to start a school and a church in Monte Olivo, Ecuador. And so we're working on this together. It's an amazing opportunity. It's incredible. We are going to pull kids out of poverty. We are going to give kids who would have no chance of an education. We are going to, through this church, be able to introduce that town to Jesus. Incredible opportunity. But to do it, we have to raise $25,000. Can we do that? I don't know. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to pull this off. The future is uncertain. The future is uncertain, but listen, the future belongs to God. The future belongs to God. And what we need to do is run into God's future like a bunch of rhinos running 30 miles per hour, but only able to see 30 feet in front of us. You know why? Because what's at 31 feet in front of the rhino really doesn't matter to the rhino. It just better get out of the way. Right? And listen, if we do this, if God's church acts like God's church, and we all get serious about, man, we're going to love God together. We're going to love people together. We're going to try to turn the world upside down together. And the way we're going to do it is by each of us saying, I can play a part in this. I can't do everything, but I can play my part. And we all do this. What's going to happen is we're going to move into God's future empowered by Him. And it really doesn't matter what obstacles are in our way. It really doesn't. It doesn't matter what the future holds because God holds the future. Jesus once said, I will build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. He says, when my church acts like my church, there is nothing that can stop it. And so if we run into the future, despite the fact that we don't know it, we can't see it, it's uncertain, man, our lives and together this church will be exciting. And dramatic, and it will not be boring. And together, we are guaranteed victory by God. And together, we will be a crash. We will be God's crash. And whatever's in front of us, it just better get out of the way. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a little bit of time of kind of a commitment time. Just a time to kind of think through what you heard today and wrestle a little bit with it. During this time, we make communion available. Communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood. And in communion, it's just this very tangible, slightly odd, but mysterious and a beautiful way to remember that Jesus fully committed to us. He gave up everything. He sacrificed his life for us. And so if you are a follower of Christ and you would like to make this part of your experience today, there's communion on the tables. And when you take that bread and the juice, you just remember, man, Jesus fully committed to me. He did whatever it took. And during this time, what we want you to do, and really taking communion is doing this, it's committing our lives back to him. It's saying, listen, God, I meant it when I said that I wanted you to be my God. I meant that. I meant it when I gave my life to Jesus and said, you get to lead me. I meant that. And I will do whatever it is that you ask me to do. And I want to be a part of this world experiencing your love and getting to know Jesus. And so I will play my part. I will do what you've called me to do. I will experiment if I have to, but I will find something where I can be make my faith active and be a part of this body doing your mission. And thanks for this opportunity, God, to make my life exciting. And so we're going to have the band come up, and they're going to play one last song, and we'll just give you maybe like 2 or 3 minutes just to pray. If you pray, you might not be there yet, and if you'd like to go and take communion, you can get that and bring it back to your seat and just commit yourself to this mission that God has for us. So let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for loving us, and there are people in this room who are just figuring this out, maybe even here for the first time, just trying to figure out can I believe this stuff? Could this make a difference in my life? But God, there are some of us who have experienced your love, and it's completely radically changed our lives. It's filled us with meaning and purpose, and it's made such a difference. And God, we just want other people to experience that, to at least have the opportunity to experience your love. And the idea that your plan for that to happen is us. Wow. Wow. And so, God, my prayer is that each of us would get to experience the honor and the adventure of being used by you for your purpose. It is the most incredible thing to give our lives to this mission and to know that my life is making a life-changing and eternity-changing difference in the lives of others. I mean, that's what we're looking for. So thanks, God. And I pray that every person would experience that. And God, for those who have not yet, I pray that they will leave this service, go out, listen to all the different opportunities out there from the different ministries and sign up for a first serve and then jump into serving in a more permanent way. God, you've made us everything by dying on the cross for us. And God, we want to make you everything in our lives as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.